It's Julia. Welcome back to A Coming of Age Movie. Now, this is my second solo episode, I think. I am very excited to be recording this. Today, we're going to focus mainly on relationships, but not just romantic ones, because there are a lot of relationships in your life, and I kind of want to talk about all of them and how you can use them all to create a good support system for yourself. So, yeah. Okay, so we're gonna, you know, today's episode is about relationships and how you can use them to create like a support system for yourself. I actually got inspired by this because of a TikTok I saw where it was about a girl who was saying that, like, she was able to, that how, like, nobody but her parents believed in her, and her parents gave her such a good support system that she would, that she was able to, like, get into college, and she was able to work hard, and she was able to achieve what she wanted to do in life because of her parents and the support system that they had for her. And that got me thinking about how just a lot of people don't feel like they have that support system. And I am very lucky and grateful that I am able to have one with my parents and my friends. So I kind of wanted to talk about how people can use and like make their own support systems, I guess, if that makes sense. So I want to first start with the support systems that you can make inside your own family. I feel like a lot of people either, like, for school, I'm going to use school as an example probably for a lot of this, but, like, I feel like a lot of people have a lot of pressure on themselves, either given by themselves or by their family, to do very well in school. I feel like parents are very guilty because of this. I think that's a generational thing, because, like, a lot of parents, like, that's, like, Gen X, yeah? Yeah, that's Gen X. I feel like a lot of Gen X is, like, the most college-educated generation, so then they want to have that for their kids, so they push kids to, like, their own kids to be very, like, school-oriented and stuff, and I feel like sometimes that causes lots of strains on the relationships, like, kids, like, our age or even younger or older have with their parents. I feel like that's, like, not good. Like, like, there should be an open line of communication. So, for example, if you, like, you fail a test or don't, not even fail a test, but if your parents always expect A's and you get a B, you're not going to want to tell them because you know that something bad's going to happen. Like, that's, like, a bad support system. Like, that's not even really a support system. Like, a support system would be where they can still push you to be your best and want the best for you and want you to get the A's, but it's where if you come home and get the B, they go, okay, like, how, where do we go from here? And I think a big part of being able to have that support system with your parents is hard because it involves lots of conversations that a lot of people don't like having with their parents. Usually it's about working on an open line of communication. I don't think I've already said this, but that's like the main point. Like, I feel like if you hide like test grades and stuff from them because you're afraid of how they'll react, that's just not gonna work at all, because then your relationship is gonna be strained. There's gonna be secrets, and like, obviously you don't need to tell your parents everything, but you don't want to hide big things like that from them, I guess, because like, if grades are something that they are very concerned about and they see that you failed a test, they're not going to be very happy with you. So I think it's better to just like, you know, put that information out there first, if that makes sense. And it's also good to just, with the open line of communication, to like, you know, not hide anything and be very upfront about things too. I think that would, because then that forms like more trust, and then they'll want to like support you in whatever you do, and hopefully, and I think that's just a really important aspect as well. I think a way that you can build on these relationships with your parents and family members, like an older sibling or a brother or a sister, or I don't know, just an older sibling, would be easier to talk to than parents, because they've probably been through what you've been going through. And if you don't have one of those, maybe like a friend or a friend's older sibling. And that's where I'm going to kind of transition into talking about having support systems with your friends. Now, a lot of people, and I tend to do this a lot, rely very heavily on their friends. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but you also have to make sure that you're not overloading your friends when you try and make a support system, because yes, like, your friends are supposed to be there for you and help you out, but they're not your therapist, you know? Like, you need to, like, have that separation, if I'm trying to think about how I can phrase this correctly. I feel like your friends are there for you as friends, and of course friends talk about things and issues and can work through them together, but your friend isn't there to, like, they're there to advise you, but they're not your therapist. Like, there's a line where that crosses, if that makes sense. And, like, I think friends are an amazing support system. They're great for, like, if you have any kind of, like, issues that you don't want to talk to your parents about, or you're unable to talk to your parents about, like, your friends are great to go to. And I think if you are the friend that is being overloaded, it's also important to, like, give yourself that, like, time to just back away from it all and just be like, okay, I need a minute, like, I cannot handle all of this right now. And I feel like a lot of people are afraid to do that because they don't want to hurt their other friends' feelings. But what they have to realize is that you have to put yourself first in that situation. Like, if a friend is coming to you and they're telling you all their problems and stuff and you really want to help, but you just can't at the moment for some reason, like, that's okay. You can take a second and realize that and just not help for a second and just put yourself first. Even if you just need a minute to think about how this is affecting you or anything, like, you can take that second. I feel like that's okay, because you need to be there for your friends, for their support system, but you also need to make sure that you're not damaging your own. And you always want to make sure that there's always, again, the open line of communication. That's a very big thing, just like with the family. But I feel like it might even be a little more important with the friends, because with family, you live with each other, you're kind of forced to communicate like that. And then with friends, it's like, I don't know, you could live with your friends, but, you know, if you're, like, a high school student, like me, I guess, you know, it's like you don't really have that constant, like, presence of your friend. Like, you're not 100% with them all the time. And even if you are, you also need to make sure that you're taking time for yourself, because the support system isn't just about having communication with others, it's about communication with yourself as well. So, like, if you know that you need a break, it is okay to take a break. I feel like a lot of people have that struggling, or, like, struggle with that, because, like, a big thing that that modern media is trying to push on us is it's okay to not be okay. And it really is. It's okay to not be okay. But a lot of people don't like this idea, and it's something that's been trying to be more normalized, which I think is a really good thing, and it is a really good thing. But a lot of people have trouble accepting that still. And as long as you know it's okay to not be okay, I think that would be, like, a good starting spot for a support system, because everybody needs one. It's just a matter of who you allow into that support system, because you want to make sure that you're allowing good people. And I'm going to switch over to talking about, like, romantic relationships for a bit. I feel like this is where it gets a little complicated, because with, like, romantic relationships, you want to let your partner, like, be there for you and stuff, and they want to be there for you. And I think if they're telling you that they want to be there for you, then I think you can tell them as much as you want. And then again, this is all my opinion, so this one I am not 100% sure about, actually. But my opinion is that if your partner wants to be there for you, then I say that you tell them as much as you want to tell them. And that's what should happen in a relationship, in my opinion. But if you or your partner don't really have that kind of bond, then I don't think it's really going to work out, I guess. I don't know. This is, like, kind of like a rocky area. But I think it's important to keep, like, kind of like a similar thing with friends, but, like, to, like, a more intimate level, just because, like, you know, they're your partner, you're dating them. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like that one's a little complicated. I'm trying to think about it. I feel like it's very hard to phrase that correctly. But I feel like your partner should want to be there for you as much as possible. And if they aren't, then they shouldn't be your partner. But if your partner is trying to be there for you, then I wouldn't try and stop that. I would encourage that as much as possible. I'm going to totally switch topics right now. And, you know, my transitions today, just so amazing. They're really amazing. You know, I could totally, I'm doing great. But I'm going to talk about school and the support systems that you could have at school. So I think not necessarily the obvious one, but like teachers, obviously, I feel like could be there for students. I've definitely had teachers be there for me, and it's amazing to just like have that bond with your teacher, not just because they are somebody that you do see every day, so like they can, I don't know, maybe they take mental notes like, oh, like so-and-so is not having a good day, and then I don't know. But I think it's also good to have bonds with your teachers, like with a support system at school, specifically with teachers, maybe in classes that you struggle with a lot too, because if you something comes up and you're unable to do the work for a class, like your teacher will understand and you won't get in trouble for it. Like I know there were definitely times where my teachers were aware of like situations, and I would just go in and be like, yeah, it was a bad day, like there's, you know, I didn't get the work done for today, and they would be like, okay, just get it done when you can, no problem. And I would. And the thing is that I was able to do that because of the support system that I had with those teachers. So I think that whether you reach out to the teachers or parents do, it's good to kind of have like an understanding, at least, of what your current situation is. I think that's definitely very important to have, because, you know, what I was saying earlier with like the work and stuff, but it's also just nice to like know that you have somebody on your side, especially at school, because you know that if anything ever goes wrong, like you have somebody there for you, you know. So if something ever does go wrong and you need to talk to somebody, you can go find the teacher maybe at lunch or something like that, and just like sit there, you know. But it's good to have that bond with at least like one teacher, I would say. And then another resource at school would be like guidance counselors. I have met a couple guidance counselors. Some are nice, some are not. Some know how to do their job and some don't, you know. It's kind of just how it goes. I think guidance counselors really vary upon the school, so I don't really know exactly how helpful a certain school's guidance counselors are going to be. I think they are very helpful when it comes to college. I would definitely try and form a bond for that, because applying to colleges and stuff, as you know, Kira and I are starting to seriously have to actually do it, it's like it's a very long process, and you know, a bunch of our friends are going through it, and it's insane to just like watch them go through this process knowing that I'll have to be doing it in like a year, which is another crazy thing. But it's good to have that like connection with your guidance counselor, because they most likely know what they're doing, you know. At least with colleges, you can probably assume that they know what they're doing, because I feel like that's like their main job, kind of. Like transitioning kids to college is pretty much their job, so like it's always good to make sure you have a good connection with them. And you want to kind of just understand that they are guidance counselors, and they do work for the school, and they do have a certain system of rules that they have to follow. So just kind of be aware of that when you're talking to them, because it's different than talking to a therapist, and I'll get into that later, because there's like all these like confidentiality laws and stuff too. But I don't know, it's just something interesting to think about. And depending on the school, your guidance counselor may or may not be a very good option for you. I would definitely talk to other kids who maybe have gone to the guidance counselors, because they probably know if they're, you know, like actually like good people, I guess you could say, or if they're like good resources to go to. That's the perfect word. If they're a good resource for you, whether it's college-wise, mental health-wise, I feel like that's just something always good, because usually what you hear from other kids about guidance counselors is right. Usually it's a bit more negative than in reality, in my experience, but yeah. Now I'm going to switch over to talking about therapy. Therapy can always be a good resource. I should have thought of that word earlier. Resource. Perfect. You know, I think it's definitely good to have a support system with your therapist over a guidance counselor or even a teacher, because just like the guidance counselors, teachers have like that certain rules that they have to follow and stuff. Like, it depends on what you tell them. They like legally might have to say something, Whereas with a therapist, like, I believe that the rule is that they can't, like, tell anybody what you said unless you are going to harm yourself or somebody else. So that's kind of, like, a bigger thing. Like, the confidentiality rules there are kind of different. And I think that's important because if you're trying to just kind of, like, vent, I guess, it might be, it's more, depending on what you're talking about, it's better to talk to a therapist than a teacher or a guidance counselor about it. I think that's very important. And therapy can be a very good support system. There's different kinds of therapy. Like, you could do a one-on-one or a group therapy session. I've never personally done group therapy. I was going to, but then I decided against it for, like, just because I didn't think it would personally help me. But if you think it would help you, that would be a great resource to use, because then you're, like, talking to people who have gone through similar things like you, and then you maybe can, like, find similar experiences and ways to get through it, and I think that would be a very cool resource. Again, I have no experience with this, so I can't really talk about much about group therapy. I feel like if you know it would benefit you, then I don't see why not. It could be at least worth a try. I know that definitely for, like, a one-on-one therapy session, it's very helpful. Like, you can learn coping strategies for certain things, or you can just kind of, like, talk about your problems and then figure out a way to fix them, which is something that I definitely did a lot when I was in therapy. It was very nice. And yeah, and sometimes those can be very expensive. I don't know about group therapy. I don't know what that would look like. I don't know if that's, like, a cost-wise, but I know that therapy, like, with a therapist session with a therapist one-on-one is very expensive, especially without insurance, and that's not an option for some people. So there are a bunch of, like, online resources and stuff you can use. I know one of them that I know of is called the Trevor Project. I know that it's for LGBTQ teens. It says on their website that they are there and they offer a free, confidential, and secure 24/7 service to teens who are struggling with issues such as coming out, LGBTQ identity, depression, and suicide. It is free. They have counselors you can talk to for calls, chats, or texts. I think it's very cool and it seems very helpful. If you are in need of that, I would definitely recommend that as a possibility. They also have this really cool thing on their website where I just went on it on my phone and a little thing popped up where if you need to immediately leave the website, you triple tap it immediately and then it will take you to google.com. I think that's a very cool resource that they added, and it's also good because, you know, if you are not out or you're in a situation where you probably shouldn't be on that website in front of other people, it is very quick and very easy to get out of, which is a very important thing in this day and age, sadly. But, you know, that's always very important. I'm pretty sure there are also a crisis text hotline that you can text, and then there's also the National Suicide Prevention line, which, oh gosh, I don't know the number, but it is definitely, if you need to look it up, it's probably going to be one of the first things that pop up, and that's always a very good resource because it's kind of their job to make sure that you're okay, and if you need to talk to somebody, then that's definitely a place where you could go. Those are kind of my overall view of support systems and how you can form relationships and stuff, just kind of like talking about it. I think definitely forming ones with family would be your first definitely like a really good priority to go to first. If that's not a possibility for you, that's totally okay. Definitely reach out to some friends if possible, because it's good to have that kind of bond with people. And then if that doesn't work out, that's okay. Teachers and guidance counselors at the school will probably be more than helpful to help you. Again, listen to what people have said about guidance counselors and just make sure that they're actually helpful, and watch what you say based on the confidentiality stuff. And therapy, I think, would probably be the best support system if you need one, just because it's, like, confidentiality-wise, it's great, and there are the downsides with how much it can cost, so I would suggest the online stuff, which is free, like the Trevor Project, or other hotlines and stuff that you can call, because that's what they're there for. And thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. If you found any of this to be helpful or you learned something from this, that's really cool. You should check out our Instagram and TikTok, where we are at acoam.podcast, and our Twitter, where we are at acoam_podcast. Follow us there to keep up and hear about awesome episodes we have planned for the future. And thank you guys so much, and we will see you next week on a coming-of-age movie.